Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
The German word for Centaurus cyanus, also known as cornflower or bachelor's button, is cornbloom. And you won't find any of that in the Doom Room. I'm Alex, and I'm doomed.
Get ready, because it's time for some peanuts, my favorite legume. Boom, boom, you're in the Doom Room. I'm Justin, and I'm doomed.
I'm Pete.
And I love this dance to the death that Justin and I have going on with the beginning of this podcast. It's really challenging me in exciting and new ways, so I appreciate it. Thanks, Justin.
Scraping out the bottom of the brain. That's what this podcast is all about.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to be talking about Doom Patrol Season 2, Episode 5, Finger Patrol. Big stuff goes down in this episode. As everybody deals with the fallout of the previous episode. Still got a bunch of sex ghosts around the house. But we get a little bit more of a classic Doom Patrol structure here as everybody breaks off onto their own separate missions. We've got Cliff and Cyborg, as Cliff gives Cyborg some romantic advice that gets him back together with Ronnie. Meanwhile, Cliff chops off a dude's finger. So that's what's going on with him. Larry visits home with Rita and accidentally leads to the maybe death of his grandson. So lots of stuff there. And meanwhile, Jane turns into baby doll, pals out around with Dorothy, drives her totally nuts, and ultimately releases the Candlemaker and the potential destruction of the entire underground. So big stuff, as we said, going down in this episode.
Yeah.
This one was great. I'll just say I appreciate the focus that we've gotten the past couple of episodes, but I did really miss this pair-em-up structure that we had a lot more in the first season, and it was fun to see it again.
Now, so this episode was directed by the same person that directed the pilot, I believe. Mm. And I feel like the direction in this episode is wildly different than other ones. There's a lot of, like, sort of more serious feeling shots. There's a lot of camera movement. There's a lot of different things here that I thought was sort of purposeful and made me feel like this episode is like a tentpole pivot moment or something's happening here, because it is a return to form with the pairings, but it also feels like much more, it almost feels like a feature film to me in the way that it is directed, as opposed to sort of the normal episode feel like TV.
For me, this was just an kind of action packed. There was so much stuff that happens in this episode, and you know, a lot of it's goddamn heartbreaking. And also, for me, it comes back to Niles being the worst, where it's like, hey, I have a ticking time bomb of a daughter as well as somebody who can't control who's at the wheel. I'll just go off and let them play together. Nothing horrible could happen with that. No need keeping an eye on that at all.
Well, I do think it's actually very interesting emotionally what's going on here, to the point where Jane and Hammerhead, I think it's Jane and Hammerhead, fight about it at a certain point in the episode in terms of who he cares about more, Dorothy or Jane.
Right.
And you see it, to your point, Justin, just in terms of the direction and the staging of everything, he barely touches Dorothy, right? Like, the way Timothy Dalton plays it, he gets all stiff and wired tight when he's around her, is almost rude to Dorothy several times, versus Jane, he softens up, he's calm. There's that thing where
hugs.
Baby doll, jumps in his lap, and he's just cradling her like a tiny little person. And it's interesting to see. Like, I don't think...
I still don't think
he's a bad guy, but
he doesn't
know how to act right around these ladies. What did you say, Pete? I cut you off.
It's okay. It's shitting parenting. He's just not a good parent
good
at all.
Shitting Barrington.
Yeah.
Shit. Shitting Barrington. on the Gilded Age. It's a character in the Gilded Age, right?
Yeah. You know, I understand, you guys are parents, but, there is something to be said about, giving the child what they need when they need it. And it's got to be hard to know that your child has a monster living inside, like we all do. But, you know about the yoked jackrabbit. You know about the candle maker. Jackalope. Like, come on, bro. You know what I mean?
Well, like, a couple things. Like, as the caretaker of a ticking time bomb, and of course, I'm talking about you, Pete. I understand that it's hard to do that. And I think Niall's a little scared of Dorothy. So it's easier for him to have a natural relationship, a more like loving relationship with Jane. And Dorothy, he's sort of going through the gestures of being a dad. He's always like, oh, these French toast is amazing. It's just like, okay, cool it a little bit. And then he ends up not being able to follow through on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and other part, if you look at the history, let me just say this and then I'll turn it over to you, Pete. If you look at the history, though, he ignored Dorothy the entire time. We've seen that, including, I think, a little bit this episode, if I remember correctly, where he just kept leaving. You know, it was last episode. He keeps leaving her on Danny the street. He keeps running away. He's barely spent any time with her other than abject horror at the carnival. He and occasional visits here and there over the past 100+ years. He doesn't know his actual daughter. Versus Jane, we know from the history of the show, he has seen multiple times over the years. And even though she hates him, even though she yells at him all the time, even though he drives him away, they've still spent significantly more time together.
Yeah, and also, like, the fact of, like, they're laughing and playing, that's great. But then when the house starts to shake and maybe a couple fireballs get thrown, maybe you go check on the creepy basement and make sure no one's accidentally thrown in the fucking inferno.
So you're saying in the 30 seconds where somebody got thrown into a furnace and then the candle maker was released in the underground, Niles should have zipped out in his wheelchair down several flights of stairs and stopped it?
Yeah. Yeah, be a fucking dad and show up, dude. What the fuck?
He's the unreasonable one.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I'm in complete agreement with you. You get your old ass in your fucking wheelchair and you fucking motor down there. Even if you're late, show the fuck up and he's nowhere to be found, man. There is a fucking battle going on and he doesn't fucking give a shit or want to be there. And it's fucking Avi.
Now, what's happened when you've released your candle maker, Pete? What is the? Because I know you have your sort of yoked jackalope runs a Gold's Gym in South Beach, Florida, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I don't recommend a membership there, by the way.
Make wish, Pete, eat cheese steak.
I think it's sometimes Niles acts like, holy shit, Dorothy, it can destroy the whole universe. I need to pay attention. And other times he acts like she's just a normal kid. And it's infuriating.
Well, but I think he wants her to have a normal, quote unquote, normal childhood. Like, that's why
late.
I think too late to some degree, but he can still give her these moments. That's why I think he's like, he introduces baby doll to Dorothy to be like, play, and they're playing and it's going well until they just don't get along. There's
Come
personality
on,
conflict
you
there.
You know, when it starts to get quiet, things are going bad. You know what I mean? It's quiet, and then
or reading is happening, or someone's reading quietly. Children,
yeah, exactly. I'll tell you what. You know, you like to ask us what it's like being parents a lot of the time, which we should really get into at some point, Pete. But I know that if there are kids over with my kids and playing, if it goes quiet, you're like, oh, thank God. This is my time to go do literally anything else.
Finally, I can think one thing for a minute.
So that, you know, that's when things are quiet. That's when things are you know, I don't know. I just think that.
Wow. What's it like when you can't hear your cat? Are you like, uh-oh, this fucker's in the chimney?
Yeah. Yeah. I get real worried very fast, and I go looking because I fucking care.
Pete actually says the same thing about Santa Claus. Oh, that fucker's in the chimney. You have to go get him.
Yep.
I'm not afraid. What's called a reverse gremlin story, right?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, whatever. Maybe it's... It's hard being Niles or whatever, but I'm sick of his shit all the goddamn time. And, you know, I'd like to see him do something better. And he's got a lot of balls in the air with the Doom Patrol, and everybody has needs and nobody's getting them met. And, you know, it's literally blowing up in his face. So I don't know, you know, what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be like, oh, Niles tried one time.
Well, let me throw something else out at you, which I think is underlined pretty clearly by this episode, but Dorothy almost unequivocally loves Niles, believes he's the best, trusts in him, will do anything he say, and Niles pushes her away constantly, versus Baby Doll / Jane is constantly pushing Niles away, and instead he goes closer and closer towards her and pursues her. Very similar to Cliff.
So you're saying it's Dorothy's fault? You're saying if Dorothy would pick up on that and be less?
No, I think this is happening with every character across the board, including Rita, who is going after her acting career very hard. They're always going after what they can't get versus being happy with what they have.
Well, and I think also Niles is sort of the father figure for all of them, and has, you know, had a big hand in their creation of what their current lives are like.
You mean by big hand in their creation, like he masterminded their deaths and then.
Well, not their deaths, but they're still alive.
Their accidents.
Their accidents. And I think he regrets that. And so now he's trying to like be the parent that he became through his mistakes and be better at it. Well, he's trying, though, and I think that's the whole point. That's the point of this season or these episodes we've been watching is, like, when you make a mistake, you can't shut down and just be mad. You have to, like, try to make it better. That was, like, that's literally been said almost word for word in these last few episodes.
Right.
So, like, and I, as a viewer, I'm like, well, I have to give this guy a chance because that's what the story is. That's the story that they're telling us.
Yeah, I hear you, in the last episode they made that super clear, but I think this episode is a perfect example of him not trying hard enough.
I understand what you're saying, Pete, but I think he is not trying hard enough with Dorothy for very specific reasons, which is that he's scared of her. Like, he's scared not just physically scared of her, but emotionally scared of her, because getting closer to her means accepting the fact that he's her father, means accepting the potential.
You can't keep pushing it off, man. She's taking people out one by one. He's got to fucking step up.
But also,
she was right to take Baby Doll pushed it first. Baby Doll literally pushed her into a furnace.
Yeah. Also, Baby Doll scratched, yoked Jackrabbit, which we found out a man.
Jackalope. Jesus Jackalope. Christ, sorry. Pete. Get it right.
Fast can be. You'll never catch. I'm dead.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking, man. That's I love that fucking.
Dave died, right?
Yeah, famously. Wow. That feels too soon, even though it's not.
Yes, I know.
It does. It really does.
I regretted it while I said it, but there's nothing to regret specifically.
There's nothing specific about soon, it, but it's a little fucked up.
And yet, it's still fucked up. You're right.
Oh, my God.
But let me say one last thing on Niles. Pete, you're also privy to all of the things that are happening in Doom Manor with all these characters. Niles is not. Niles doesn't know that the underground is literally falling apart. He's trying to figure it out. Well, he doesn't know that Dorothy's like right on the edge and ready to attack Baby Doll over the course of this episode. He doesn't know all this stuff that you know. So he has to try to like figure it out as an outsider.
Try so to I do think, better is what he needs to try to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, but he is trying. Just because he's not he's succeeding. Not, he's this not isn't trying. The last episode of the season. What? Why? Why don't you... You're watching this show. If you're saying that character's not trying, that character sucks. My only yolk shackle up is why I get up in the morning, and now that's he's right. gone. Yeah. So, like, what are you here for then?
Exactly. If they're going to kill off the yolk jackalope, what am I here for? And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, Cliff had this moment where he like kind of was like, if you spend some time, you know, you can understand these people, like talk, fucking don't sit there with Jane and go back to the ways of writing things down and a fucking and recording things that didn't work. Why do you think that's going to work again? Like, hey, Jane, let's talk about what's going on with you. Like, hey, let's talk about this fucking K who we have no idea anything about and why K is so fucking important. Also, like, hey, Dorothy, yeah, I'm appreciative for the fact that you think I'm great, but I'm a horrible person. I've got to do better with you. We got to figure out a way that this candle maker stops talking to you, and maybe you just hang out with the fucking spider in the morning light lady. You know, like, what the fuck?
The morning light lady?
Yeah, so, well, she's got lights for eyes, light break.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Pete, if you want to be better, maybe you just need to make a wish.
Make wish, Pete. Pete.
Stop it.
Cheesesteak.
So, well, why don't we turn to something that I think we can all agree on, which is that the Cliff Cyborg storyline was absolutely fantastic, absolutely delightful. Yeah. I love the twist there at the beginning of that with Cyborg having a dream about mm-hmm. Ronnie that turns absolutely horrible and turns out to be weirdly prophetic as well, because she gets this arm cannon and then later on he finds out that she actually did get implants, some sort of cybernetic implants.
Enhancements
yeah. that were taken out by this organization called Quorum, which doesn't sound ominous at all.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like we're going to hear from those folks.
Hmm. Potentially. Now, at this point, I want to take a little... side trip for a second, because we haven't done this in a bit and we're halfway through the season. Justin, again, you haven't watched any of this. I've watched halfway through season 3. Pete, are we at the point where you haven't seen these episodes or
yes.
have you? Okay. You have never seen these episodes before now.
Yeah. 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 I gave up on Niles a while ago in the first running of this.
This now is starting to make a little bit of sense of your attitude.
All right, so you guys don't know what's coming at this point. So
I have a pet peeve for shitty leaders. It's a real thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I have a pet Pete for this podcast.
What do you think about the Cyborg-Ronnie relationship in this episode then? Because Cliff, first of all, very surprisingly, turns out to be right, being like, don't bring her a sandwich, which I would absolutely bring somebody a sandwich,
yeah,
first of all.
I think Cliff's right in the fact that like the sandwich isn't... You know what I mean? The thing is to say that I'm sorry and I want to hear your side of the story and please, you know, I'm an asshole. I fucked up, you know, like let's talk. That's the quote, key.
The quote is go to the door and say, I'm stupid. I fucked up and I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And Cliff calls it verbal astroglide, which I thought was very
and
funny.
It works. It works surprisingly. Just to get back to the sandwich for a second, though, because I wrote this down in my notes. After
pile of hoagies.
Yeah. After Cliff threw the sandwich out the window, I was wondering, Pete, did you turn against Cliff at that point?
Yeah.
Like, where do you stand?
So we have this Tino's, which I think is, you know, maybe taking the place of Geno's in the Philly cheesesteak world a little bit. And yeah, I mean, obviously Cliff's a robot, so sandwiches don't have the importance that they... Yeah, yeah. But and we saw in Vic's dream, there was just a pile of hoagies, and that was just, oh, just unbelievable. Just
that sounds like you already made your wish then.
Yeah, yeah.
But pile you haven't really answered my question whether Cliff throwing a sandwich out the window made you turn against Cliff or not.
I can't turn against Cliff. Cliff is, you know, he is my guy in the show. So like, I, you know, if I was a robot and couldn't eat sandwiches again, yes, I would have a real hate relationship with food.
It's crazy to me that you can't identify with a father who is having trouble connecting with his child, but you can connect with a robot who doesn't like sandwiches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, this is the doom room. We're weird. This episode was sort of sandwich pornography between the stack at the beginning, the sandwich stuff with Cliff and
kitchen sink
and Cyborg, and then of course we have a massive cold cut selection laid out by Jane and Niles.
I'll tell you
what,
there were so many sandwiches here, you'd think it was a Stanley Kubrick movie, right, Justin? Right?
You started it. Wow, you're mad enough about this, it has to go across two episodes? You went and remembered this?
Wow. I remember barely anything. I don't know what my kids are named, but I did remember that.
Oh, my God.
The steel and stone thing was so great, getting the sequence in the middle of this 70s cop show with Cyborg and Cliff was so much fun, so delightful. It went on so long, too.
I wanted it to go longer. I really did. It was so much fun. And even when it like ended and Cliff was still singing the theme song, I was still having such a great time with it.
Well, that's why this episode felt like sort of like it was trying to make a big creative statement. It was like doing extra flourishes like this thing.
Yeah,
it was fun. It was awesome. But it's not like we need this for the story. It was just like a fun thing to do.
Hey, don't take that away from me. I needed this. All right.
I know you
needed
it,
the sandwich stuff, because the other stuff was heartbreaking. I mean, we got LT's family basically calling the cops on him, turning him in. That was fucking heartbreaking.
Before we jump over there real quick, like, and then you get like a fun cutaway, like after Cliff, now a crime fighter, cuts off the dude's finger, we get to cut away into the hot dog on the grill over in the LT story. So I do think
there was some fun cutaways. I mean, when they were about to get it on, it cut away to reaching for a jar of pickles and then the finger to the hot dog. Mm. There was some fun cutaways.
What does reaching for a jar of pickles equate sexually, just to you guys? Is there a
pickle?
Looks like pickles.
You're reaching for
looks like a bunch of pickles stuck together.
Wait, a bunch of pickles stuck together? Here's the thing. That's why I'm lost right now. Is you just said what looks like a bunch of pickles stuck together, and I ask you, sir, what does look like a bunch of pickles stuck together? Because if you're talking about your own penis, I got some more questions.
Well, last episode, not to keep getting back to last episode, but we were talking about various aspects of an orgy.
Control.
And listen, there is a move, and you guys know this very well, called the pickle jar.
Yep.
Where you get them to all fit together. Like it's a party game.
Let me say, don't try. Nope. You're just like, and you guys know this well, is what you just threw out of that.
Yeah.
And you don't know if I know that. Shit. You don't know if I know that.
Okay.
And also, don't turn Justin's love of pickles against him like this, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's his happy place. Don't make it sour.
Okay, every morning, I just get a handful of pickles and sort of stick them together and shove them in my mouth. And now that's going to be tainted.
Yeah, it's going to be weird next morning. Cliff's line of like, sorry to interrupt your night terror. That was really fun.
Well, Cliff is great. The Cliff Cyborg relationship in this episode is great. They do feel like friends, and sort of I feel like that friendship even sort of surprises Cliff, and that's why he has the fantasy sequence. Mm-hmm. But they have a nice heart to heart early in the episode. While Cyborg is spying on Ronnie, they talk about how Cliff's like losing his feeling, his sense memory, as the longer he's in the robot body.
Oh man.
And he wants to go to Vic's dad about it. It was, and it was really, I was just really well done. I think the last few episodes had some great speeches in them, and I thought that was a good one.
Well, yeah, on the note, I want to mention of going to Silas, because they do have this really good scene where they try to convince him. I feel like you had to like this, Pete, right? Because Cliff is like, screw you, Niles. You're not going to help me in the right way. You're going to build me a spider body. And instead, he goes to Silas, and then Silas shuts him down, saying, no, I'm not going to be an accessory to murder. I'm not going to do this. It feels like there's probably another reason there, right?
Well, the reason is Vic's dad's a fucking asshole is what it is. I mean, that was just like, you know, like he could have been a little bit nicer about it instead of just ripping into Cliff and his existence and how it's just abomination. I mean, that was really cold as fuck.
Here, I'm gonna give you let you out on a little secret, Pete. There is nobody on this show who is not an asshole. It's assholes all the way down, which is another very fun orgy party game.
I really don't want to get into. I'm trying to avoid this at all costs. But I'm going to disagree with you. I think Cliff is the one person who's not an asshole. He is an asshole for what he's done in his life, but I feel like at least he's trying, I feel like, to not be an asshole, even though he did really fuck up with his daughter.
It is funny to me that you think Cliff is trying and you think Niles is not trying hard enough, when to me, they're both trying in sort of the same way. Like, okay. Cliff is distracted. You think Cliff is trying when he's having a fantasy sequence in a car? That's a textbook definition of not trying, based on my years working at Burger
King. He's doing
a
good job of not, like, fucking things up for Vic. You know what I mean? He's just sitting in the car. He could be like...
so he's not ruining it. So that means he's trying.
gotcha. But, I mean, the whole thing about, like, you know, Vic and Cliff getting the stickers on their backs, and then, you know, a 70s crime-fighting duo, just... It's fun. We have these two robots, and it would be very easy to pit them against each other, one more high tech and one more old school. But I like the choice the show is making of not doing that and having ways for them to try to come together in interesting ways. And yeah, I mean, the Cliff monologues are heartbreaking about, like, his memories and, you know, and he was a piece of shit in his earlier life. But, I mean, he is still helping Vic, you know, hopefully try to get a relationship going.
Yeah. Well, but you asked this earlier, Alex, and we never quite got to it because of some sort of distraction. But I'm curious how what the deal is with Ronnie. Learning about how that she had enhancements and maybe misses them makes me question her a little bit, and the way she has been sort of moving in and out of Cyborg's life. And I don't want to be suspicious necessarily, but. Because Cyborg is just easy to take advantage of, and it feels like if there's some sort of quorum want for Cyborg, or she personally wants to have sort of Cyborg-like enhancements, as we see in the dream, it could be trouble for him.
Well, and I'll also throw out there on the same sort of theme we've been talking about, she keeps trying to push him away, right? Whether it's not showing up to the date or just driving in this episode on, I did Black Ops, really bad Black Ops. You're so bad, you're not going to like it. You're a hero. Stay away from me. And that just keeps bringing him closer and closer and closer to her. And as we've seen with the other relationships, the closer you get to these people, the more dangerous you can be, which is a nice segue to talk about what's going on with Larry over with his family that, as mentioned earlier, leads to maybe his grandson getting shot and dying of a gun
at the end there. Great job by Rita to, you know, deflect that bullet off of the kid.
Her powers are working.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, this storyline was just so upsetting throughout. Like, we finally see Larry. We've talked a lot about how, like, last episode, Larry was sort of by himself, sort of removed from the group. In this episode, he's, like, putting himself out there. He's trying to finally make amends with his kids and successive generations. Where should we start? A hug. You know, when we get these great callbacks later on, when he's looking at the stuff in his locker and he finds the rocket that he was sort of a jerk about to his kid. What a great just callback. What an emotional callback for the show.
And to say that, like, oh, he nailed it now was just, like, such a moment. And, like, and then to find out that the son was happy to see that LT still had it, you know, like, that really meant a lot. Like, even if he wasn't there to say how it was a dick move, the fact that he saved it kind of said that for him a little bit, which was really nice. But, I mean, at what point do you call the cops during this fucking touching father-son reunion? You know what I mean? Like,
well, I think that was the whole point, though, right? Is that it felt very true to family dynamics to me that everybody sees each other like, oh, it's so great to see you. This is so exciting. And over time, the more time you spend with them, those cracks start to appear, those old hurts, those old misgivings, all of those other things. Not across the board, but it did feel very true here to the point where I think one of my absolute favorite moments was Larry coming out to his son saying, I'm gay. I was in love with this man. And it not being used as a get out of jail free card. Like, I think most TV shows would be like, oh, wow, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that, Dad. I love you so much more now. And here, this just made him double down on, you lied to us our entire lives. You ruined our family. My mom never got over it. My brother literally died because of it. I understand this is something you were going through, but your selfishness ultimately cost all of us our lives. And I think ultimately that's why he calls the cops.
Well,
he said he finally felt peace when at his brother's funeral. And that's right when Larry showed up to make it worse again.
But let's back up the truck here for a little bit. Like, you're going to invite LT over with this being a trap. And then you're going to kind of like act nice until they show up. Like, why wouldn't you just kind of be like, I don't know, just the fact of like the fact that you're going to get a hug and then you're going to try to act nice and then we're going to have hot dogs on the barbecue and then, oh, we're just killing time until the fucking cops show up is so much more deceptive than like LT shows up and be like, hey, you know what? It's fucked up what you've done. You can't take any of it back. People are dead. You lied to us. You know, like, it was just such an interesting, horrible, kind of almost worse way to trap somebody and making them think that they're witnessing a touching family moment when it's all just a fucking trap.
Well, that's the price that they pay at the end when he calls in these government operatives and they accidentally shoot his son.
Yeah.
And I don't want to keep bringing this up, but the hot dog trap is actually another fun orgy party game. Also, I was listening to what you were saying.
This thing like, hey, I shouldn't bring this up. Don't listen to that.
I would rank it third. Like, below
I don't care what your rankings
Alex,
are.
Say orgy thing.
Annoy Pete.
Please stop.
We've all got our candle makers. Alex is just like a little more sexy, very like in sort of some oiled up situation.
Nothing real Groucho Marx situation going on in the back of my head.
I love the way though the negative spirit comes out and flies them away. Which
nice.
I don't think we knew that it could do that, right?
Yeah. But just another fucking example of like LT digging himself into the hole and the negative spirit's got to save him. I like to call him the light being and not the negative thing because I don't like to put – because the light being is really the only person that we can trust in this whole goddamn show.
Wow.
Really?
I don't understand you. Really?
That's very interesting. Did we talk about – we should talk about Rita before we start to wrap up here. Yeah. I think we touched on all of the other characters.
I think we've all had really bad auditions in the middle of Home Depot before. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Most of mine are in Home Depot.
Yes, for Home Depot.
Yeah, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I really like this. In this, we talked a little bit about the last episode, how Rita has really started to hit rock bottom here in a surprising way when she was cresting very much over the previous couple of episodes. And this continues it. Like, nothing against community theater or anything like that.
Whoa, dude, what are you about to say right now? What the fuck?
She was a famous starlet.
Right?
Her debasing herself in a Home Depot to be at a community theater.
How dare you?
Is a low point, is all I'm
saying.
It's how bad she wants it and how bad she wants to just move on. And like, and you see her audition gets ruined by her flash to her traumatic moment with
her
mom.
She's
got
to deal with that first, is what I'm saying. Like, also, she is trying to recapture some
list,
of the. Yes, go ahead.
If we're making a list of things she needs to deal with, maybe when she wakes up the next morning, check in with Dorothy, like, hey, did I say something horrible to you just as I was falling asleep? Because I'm going through a lot of my own things and I don't want to put that on you. You know, you have nothing to do with that. You know, maybe a check in to apologize there. And then kind of deal with that block that she finally got to kind of deal with in the last.
And you do that every morning, right, Pete?
I was just going to make the same joke. I was like, I appreciate every morning after we tape when you call me to do the same thing.
It's Pete's version of I'm stupid, I fucked up, I'm sorry. Just call us up. It's verbal astroglide.
It's podcast lube, as I like to call it.
See, now you're on board.
Nope.
Pete. Good orgy joke.
No,
Pete.
Don't. That was not an orgy joke, you asshole.
I mean,
yes,
don't make everything creepy.
We all agree.
No. Don't make everything creepy, man. Come on.
Outside the orgy, you usually allow, they're called lurkers, the people who stand outside the window. They can't be in the orgy, but they could watch the orgy. That's what you want.
Alex having a veritable lexicon of orgy terms is starting to raise some eyebrows on this podcast. Okay. Just one other thing I want to say before we wrap up is the Rita-LT relationship is so nice. Like, I love the way it is. I love how much they care for each other and really support each other. I think it's probably the healthiest relationship on this show. And I love it. And Rita ends up booking the part at the end because of mono, which is how a lot of great actors
a didgeridoo accident, which is a hysterical way to get mono.
Yeah, how... I guess by sucking on the same didgeridoo.
That's right.
I'm not going to say it. One thing that I wanted to call out, the fight at the end with the candle maker in the underground was brutal. And
yes.
And how did he get in there?
I don't know exactly. I guess she wished. She wished and he got
in
there.
She wished that baby doll would die. And so wherever baby doll is, that's where the candle maker is going
to
go.
Right. Yeah. And I do appreciate, though, like what I liked about this, even though it's so hard to watch, is we've had 5 episodes of build up about the candle maker. We've only seen him a little bit. So finally getting to see him in action, it is everything that you hoped it would not be, if you know what I mean.
We saw the candle maker wreck like a whole carnival. You were I want to see more
see
of that.
No, we just saw the aftermath of it. That's all, right?
Yeah, because it's...
Yeah, so what I'm saying is we finally get to see it, and it's as brutal as we expected it to be. So I thought it was really well done. That's my whole point. Any other moments from the episode that you guys want to call out? I want to do a little correction. Pete, you only said the first half of Cliff's line, sorry to disturb your night terror. And then Cyborg says it wasn't a night terror. He says, oh, sorry, spooky wet dream. Which was very funny.
Very fun. While we're talking about Cliff lines, we have an unspoken bet about if you have a schlong or if he has a schlong.
Yeah, that was hysterical, yeah.
Very funny. Talking about Cyborg. I appreciate the absolute withering Marie Kondo takedown in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
definitely
was
sets this episode at a very specific moment in time.
Yes, it does, which I was like, I remember that. It's all anyone talked about for some reason for a while. And more random sex ghosts. Are sex ghosts the ghosts that that appear after you have sex, or is it for people who've died having sex?
No, sex ghosts are, you know, ghosts, you know, meeting up in the afterlife and then connecting and having sex in different rooms of other people's house.
Yeah. Like Slimer and the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man that one time.
Oh, God. What a relationship that one time.
I did like how Cliff was like, I guess this is the new norm.
Very funny.
I did like that. Like we've been talking about, just having continuing stuff, little Easter eggs, little things that show just the crazy adventures that they've been on over the course of the episodes. Very fun. Let's wrap this up talking about who is most doomed this episode. Justin, why don't you go first? Who is most doomed this episode?
Well, it's a tough call because it was sort of a dark turn for lost some faves here between Yoked Jack and Baby Doll. I think, though, the most doomed coming out of this is LT. I feel like I always go to the LT bank for most doomed.
You do.
He did step out here a little emotionally, and he was only destroyed for it.
Pete, what about you? Most doomed this episode?
Yeah, I just wanted to say real quickly about Justin's. It was heartbreaking, the fact that LT reached out, did these things, and he was just absolutely destroyed for it. You know, I'm sure that the family members wanted to talk to him and express their anger. But like, as soon as you saw the son's gun, like, I was like, oh, this is going to go sideways. But I would say most doomed, obviously Niles, if he doesn't get his act together, you know, I would throw him over to Jack the Ripper and just be like, have your fucking way with him if he wasn't dead.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to say Jade, she's in a really bad way at the end of this episode. Not only is the Candlemaker there in the underground, but Baby Doll and I think a couple of others are dead and burned to a crisp at this point. I think it's going to just throw everything completely out of whack, and it was already headed that direction over the past couple of episodes anyway. And if you would like to support our podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Doom Patrol. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. And now, before we go, a piece of advice from Peter LePage.
Parenting is hard. If you're going to be a parent, the important thing is that the child sees you trying, constantly trying.
And this is nice. Shittington Parenting, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay. Yep.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.